are you receiving me, DK Shadow? I had another technical issue. Oh my god. And now I don't even know if I'm live. Hopefully we are live with the recreation of a new video. Lord of Discipline is saying, what's going on? We add another layer of technical issues today. That is too bad. Hopefully this is done and we can get started. Oh my god. You know, I've been doing this for 8 years, and I think this week may have been the very, very worst technical issue week. Yesterday, the sound was also not perfect 3 days ago. It's not Odyssey this time. We had a lot of technical issues with Odyssey before, but here, definitely, it is on my side. I've had... it's just a replugging. I just have a new power bar. Holy shit. And a new power bar will change so much stuff in the numbering of the screens, in these other factors, it messes up Streamlabs, and and my audio system was messed up yesterday from being replugged into a new power bar. Wow, who would have thought that after all of the guests we've had, and it was rolling perfectly, thousands of shows, it is a power bar that that totally messed my system. Ledger crypto wallet to reimburse users after hack. Ledger says some $600,000 in assets were stolen from users blind signing on EVM dApps, and it will ensure all victims are made whole, while blind signing will be disallowed by June 2024. I don't know what that means. Without blind signing, can we even operate a dApps, a decentralized manner, with a ledger then? Because a lot of these things, when you trade on Uniswap or PancakeSwap, it's all blind signing. They say if you don't allow blind signing in your ledger, you can't. And so will we be able, or will this mean you have to transfer out of a ledger account into a less secure account when you want to blind sign? Or does this mean that these trading places like Uniswap will have to start reprogramming their website so that blind signing isn't needed? I've always found that weird, that yes, you know, when you click accept on the ledger, you have to blind sign. That is, you are signing something that you don't really know what it is. If the PancakeSwap website or the Uniswap website were to be hacked, you would be fucked. You would lose all of your Bitcoin. Bitcoin. You would lose all of your ETH and your BNB. So that was always weird to me, but you end up just trusting the website, and you end up thinking, if PancakeSwap is ever hacked or Uniswap is ever hacked, I probably won't be the first to know it, and it probably will spread on Twitter like wildfire. So you end up trusting these websites, and you end up clicking yes, blind sign. But now Ledger is saying that they will disallow blind signing by June 2024. Hopefully there will be a willingness on the side of the dApp programmers to make their contracts visually illustrated for the user to know what he's signing. Keith Woods reports on his Telegram channel, hello, your account has been suspended. This is a letter from X to Lucas Gage. Account suspended and will not be restored for 3 months because it was found to be violating the X terms of service, specifically the X rules against violent speech, glorification of violence. And you know, although I like Lucas Gage and he is a friend of the show, I have to acknowledge that he was going too far. He was going way too far. He totally knew what he was doing. He was using violent words. He was using punching. He was using that kind of stuff. Elimination. And, you know, you can't do this when you perform in a certain intellectual section of the internet. You will be subject to massive scrutiny, and the use of small words here and there like this can get you in trouble. So I think that Lucas Gage was somewhat looking for trouble to a certain extent, and it is a good thing that he wasn't permanently banned, but I hope that he learns from this. And I think it also illustrates that Elon Musk seems to be serious on allowing people to come back, that there would be no permanent suspension. That was a big aspect of becoming a true public space, and I think that he's doing it. Master Slave says, Elon has JF by the balls. Well, not really. I don't feel troubled by the fact that I can't call for violence on Twitter. I think it's a fair term. I'm totally fine. I'm fine with fair, clear, and equally applied terms. I'm not a guy who needs massive amounts of free speech. I can express my ideas in whatever format is needed, and I can follow the rules. But the problem is, the leftist entities like YouTube, they've been applying the rule unfair. They've been letting leftists say things that we can't say. You know, all of the attacks on whiteness that has been done across the years, you can't make the same attacks on the other side. So that's always been my problem. And the vagueness of the rules has always been exploited to create a kind of uncertainty about what is even the rule. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, your Bitcoin walkthrough covered getting into Bitcoin. Are there any special considerations needed when eventually selling Bitcoin, especially if the peak only gives you limited time to sell? Of course, there are things to consider. First, you need to plan your outs. It's not a bad thing to have many outs, because we've seen Binance disappear in Canada. We've seen other, like FTX, completely crumble. So you never know your exit points, if they will be trustable. And so it's good to practice. It's good to have run a whole cycle of withdrawal, even if it's for a small amount. You can withdraw $100 worth of Bitcoin just to test. So you'll know a lot of things from it. You'll know your exact fees on many platforms. You will know how much time it takes. And you will know, importantly, whether you pass the security systems of many of these platforms. Because many of these platforms will be like, oh yeah, you can deposit your Bitcoin. Oh yeah, we can immediately buy them from you. And oh yeah, we'll pay immediately on your bank account. But then you actually go through the process, and then you receive a little email that says, hello, we have your account has been marked for suspicious activity, and we would like to know a little more about the provenance of your funds. We see that the funds come from this and this wallet. What are these wallets, and were they your funds, or were you paid at this moment? That is becoming increasingly common as the legislator is putting constraints on these official exchanges. And you want to test your exchanges that they won't pull some bullshit like this. And it's also good to create a history of having withdrawn a small amount, because then they can look in their system and the system can tell them, okay, well, this comes from the very same wallet that 1 year ago this guy withdrew $100. So all of this is a good idea if you plan to move massive amounts of money. I would always do chunks. I would never do a like $200,000 just sell, and then $200,000 just withdraw to bank. I like to chunk in small amounts first, because the price can vary, And you, anyways, at the peak, there will be plenty of time. Let me tell you, the peak of the last bull run, it was painful, like going through it. The real, real peak will last just a second, but that's a mathematical fact. But the opportunity to sell at a super satisfying price will last for a long time, because a trend reversal, although maybe there will be the best price, might be just for a second, the trend reversal takes a lot of time, and you would have had plenty of days to sell at 60,000 in the last bull run. So don't forget all of this, and otherwise, it's the same procedure as I've outlined in my guide to Bitcoin. I want to make an ode to the beauty of what's happening, and I've been struck by these Bitwise Bitcoin ads, by the quality of them, and by the intensity of the mimetics, and by the simplicity of them. This, in my view, is the expression of the greatest, most fascinating marketing strategy in the, at least this year, if not in the decade, if not in the century. This is fucking genius marketing, and I want to explain to you guys why. But let's just see the simple ads that are starting to emerge in normie space, where they are about to normify Bitcoin. This is what struck me with these ads. Okay, let's look at one here.
You know what's interesting these days? Bitcoin. Look for Bitwise, my friends.
Okay, this is interesting. The strategy that are used in this are quite complex. It is the classical first things first is you show a sexy woman, because it is known that men are willing to pour so much more money into something that's meant to display their wealth if there's a picture of a sexy woman around. So notice the first thing that passes. And A.N. says, that was ass. No, that is brilliant. And I'm going to explain to you why. Okay, we're just getting started. So there you go. Luxury, high-class woman. See, she requires basically the killing of 40 rabbits to just be dressed. Do you have what it takes? Do you have what it takes to get that kind of girlfriend? You want to get that kind of girlfriend? You need, well, 30 years ago, you needed a Corvette. Now you need a Bitcoin and sexy legs. So you have a idea of wealth and of what wealth can acquire, necessary in marketing. New guy says, that's a whore. Exactly. That's what we want. And then there's the servant, the kind of butler, server, whatever that is, a man at the service of this man. So this man becomes at the center of attention of the sexual world, and the professional staff just wanting to serve. There's a little log slice keeping his connection with nature. There are candles showing that a great amount of care has been made just to make this guy comfortable. And look at this, just in case you would find him too much of a white boomer, he's training the next generation, the multiracial, homosexual, black man who is also trying to elevate himself into the domain of business. The young female CEO, how can she do it all? How can she both be CEO of whatever and be beautiful and also be a mother? She has it all. And that's because of maybe what she will, because she knows how to listen to the white, old, wise man and his counsel. She is being guided in her success by listening to the right guy. So this has all positioned this guy as the most interesting guy in the world. And what does he say about what's interesting?
You know what's interesting these days? Bitcoin. Look for Bitwise, my friends.
And look at the guy, this kind of opened shirt at the top suggests this guy is so relaxed that he doesn't have to display anymore. He's reached a point in his life where he's accumulated so much money that he can untie the top shirt. And it's like, yeah, my friends, this guy is inviting you in his circle of friends. And the second ad, to me, this one shook me, because this one that I just showed, yes, Hermit M, I will get to your point, and then you'll understand why this is all genius. Okay, I'll get there, Hermit. This first ad, I saw it 3 days ago. I showed it on the show, but I wasn't struck by the importance of what was happening. Of course, it's normies being attracted to the internet world. It's going to suck for a couple of reasons. The internet was great before the normies came. Then the normies came and they started banning people like me to make place for the normies. I felt like one of these homeless people that they kick out of the street for the arrival of a communist dictator. But that is what happened with the internet. So we had to withdraw these secondary platforms to keep our freedom of speech, which we had at the beginning of the internet. The same is about to happen to Bitcoin. That is my point to you tonight. They're normifying Bitcoin, and it's going to suck for a couple of reasons. Bitcoin will probably one day do the same thing that YouTube did, which is it's going to start... Something's going to mess up the liberty of Bitcoin. But then look at this second. Look at this second ad. This is fucking genius. Same principle. Sexy woman, high class, high price. Server, still walking, exactly same pattern.
Thought you would like to know. Satoshi sends his regards. Look for Bitwise, my friends.
This is introducing the normie to Bitcoin mimetics and Bitcoin legend, like Bitcoin myths and legends. It is fascinating. We have the normies being introduced to the idea that, oh yeah, Satoshi is this big shaker of things. He sends his regards. So, oh, this guy with the white hair somehow is in the close circle of Satoshi. Of course, it's impossible. Satoshi isn't sending his regards. Satoshi is most likely dead. Satoshi, we won't even ever know with certainty who it was. But this guy... this guy claims to the normie, I know Satoshi, and here I am in my cigar lounge, and I thought you'd like to know, he sends his regards. So that's how connected I am in the Bitcoin world. It is absolute bullshit, but it is so beautiful to see that these people will take Bitcoin somewhere else, and we're going to make money in the process. Now, here's where the genius comes in. This doesn't come from nowhere. These ads are, you could appreciate their quality as such. But this is the most interesting man in the world. Let me pull in the archives. 13 years ago, this man had already generated memes for the generations to come, because this man had made an ad for a beer company. This man is Jonathan Goldsmith. And look at the ad.
He is the life of parties he has never attended. If he were to punch you in the face, he would have to fight off the strong urge to thank him.
And this very mimetic form actually comes from an internet tradition that predates DOSEQUIS, that predates those mimetic ads. This ultimately comes from the website Chuck Norris Facts. Okay? Those are Chuck Norris facts. If you were to punch you in the face, you would have to resist the urge of thanking him. You would be honored if he punched you in the face. And there he is, you know, visiting the jungle with native peoples, just whistling arrows to their praise.
Sharks have a week dedicated to him.
There he is, trying to charm the Indian doctor who saved him from a shark attack. And still, some of the teeth of the shark are still pinned in his shoulder.
Sharks have a week dedicated to him.
Instead of him having the shark week, the sharks have a week dedicated to him. That is also the kind of humor we were seeing in the Chuck Norris facts.
He is the most interesting man in the world.
I don't always drink beer, but when I do, I prefer those sakis. Stay thirsty, my friends.
The same format. Stay thirsty, my friends, with the logo.
Stay thirsty, my friends.
In the exact same way, in the exact same way that the Bitcoin ad is being done where he says, my friends. So now you have another layer to when he says, let me go back. Now, look at this ad. And now with the knowledge that this guy has been declared the most interesting man in the world.
You know what's interesting these days? Bitcoin. Look for Bitwise, my friends.
And notice they have brought back the Mexican music. And it's like, there's nothing Mexican about Bitcoin. Well, there's something Mexican about this guy. And he is the most interesting man in the world. And he's telling you, I'm not the most interesting thing in the world, though. I'm the most interesting man in the world. But the most interesting thing in the world is Bitcoin. That is good marketing. I mean, and you are basing your success around a man who has already generated a meme from his previous commercial. I don't always drink beer, but when I do, I drink Dos Equis. Go away, says Jeff. I thought Monero was Mexican. Monero is, but Bitcoin isn't. John Drake says, I think he did the beer commercials from the early 2000s to 2019. Exactly. And so it was a genius rebranding, a repurposing of this man's mimetic career to be putting him in charge of being the first face to represent Bitcoin ETFs. And there will be more. There will be more. There will be a re-raise and re-raise because everyone will want to be the main ETF that people go to when they want to store Bitcoin. And this Bitwise, I don't know about them. Personally, I don't recommend buying Bitcoin ETFs. I think they are ridiculous. Why would you trust someone else with the custody of your coins? At best, they are equally secure to what you could do. Like, if you are charmed by their offering of a multi-sig wallet, you could do your own multi-sig wallet. So you can reach the same level of security and not be pulled first into a system that is very seizable. So depending on whether you have exes or a divorce history or current wives who could try to drain from you, you don't want to be in an ETF. You want to be in Bitcoin. And, you know, if you're a dissident thinker, you could eventually be pursued by governments. Again, Bitcoin is better than ETF. John Drake says, if you have a retirement fund, it makes sense. Yeah, I guess that there are some tax advantages, but tax advantages to me compared to not knowing that you truly own these things is ridiculous. I don't even care about if you told me I'm losing 15% tax advantage. Fuck this 15%. I don't care. Wealth truly exists when no one can take it from you. The rest is all money that your wife has parked in your name. Barnaby Buto says, one of the product Bitwise offers is a crypto index with the top 10 coins. Okay, so they will probably offer products that represent the success of the overall crypto market rather than just Bitcoin. Interesting. John Drake says, I know, but people have RRSPs and IRAs. Yeah, I guess I'm a special man, but I don't have these things. I can't work. People won't employ me. So I guess I'm a special man, but that's the only kind of life I know how to live. So you guys keep going with your RRSPs and your income tax reduction. I'm sure it matters to you very much. Bitcoin isn't going to a million. The dollar is dropping to a Satoshi. Instead of thinking of Bitcoin as rising, you can think of the dollar eventually reaching a Satoshi. That will be the flippening, if you will, the day a Satoshi is exactly worth one. Here's a prediction. That could be, I don't know, in 30 years from now, in 60 years from now. But the day a Satoshi is worth $1, why do we even need, on that day, we don't need stable coins. On that day, there is parity between the stable coins and BTC. John Drake says, you take a 30% hit if you want to take your money out early and then pay tax on top of that. Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, so that's a very good reason why you would want to buy just BTC and not ETFs. Because the ETF will crash in price when we get into the bear market. And it's going to be bloody. You know, and you're going to start having the normieplex deciding, oh, yeah, well, so we have a wave of people who are forced to withdraw at this date. And so let's arrange the bear market so that at this date it's very low. I mean, it's going to be a bloodbath for the normies. Even when the normies adopt Bitcoin, they will find a way to be sucked of their energy. That really sucks. Barnaby Pluto says, all my paper Bitcoin is destined to be sold since it's in a tax-free account. My on-chain position is what will go for posterity. Yes, on-chain position is the right thing to... If you are someone who can hold throughout the bull runs and across bull runs, then it's a very good gift to give to children because, well, if you're in Canada, there is no particular income tax for gifts. There is an income tax on the valuation of the thing as you sell it. But if you never sell it and you give it as a gift, that's zero tax. I guess if you give Bitcoin, there's no tax on the giving in Canada. And then when your children sell Bitcoin, do they even have a tax to pay here? But you've given it to them at a price. So they don't have to pay the capital gains tax. That would be my guess. They don't have to pay the capital gains tax because they received the gift at this valuation. I'd have to check this, but it sounds like the best tax-free path for your Bitcoin money, to just give them straight as Bitcoin to your children. DK Shadow says, giving Bitcoin is like giving a piece of art. Okay, but how does that work? Black Tie sends a super chat. Oh, capital gain is 100%? John Drake says, there is no capital gains until a certain amount. Well, I think that all of these answers are wrong. Barnaby Buto says, regarding inheritance, if the asset changed generation, there's a tax. If it's transferred to a husband or a wife, there's some rules to dodge taxes. Go Away says, really, no tax on gifts. This is no threshold. I thought most country had a limit on gifts of around 10K in value before an asset or cash is taxable. Well, what I read in Canada, what I had read, there is no gift tax in Canada. I don't know. I'm not a specialist of all this. I'll have to consult in detail. No gift tax in Canada. There is no gift tax in Canada. Any resident of Canada who receives a gift or inheritance of any amount except from an employer or as a tip or gratuity due to their employment will not have to include this in their income. However, if the gift is received by a spouse or a related minor child, see the next paragraph regarding attribution rules regarding the income, if any, from the gift. If the gift is capital property or is a gift from someone in debt to Canada Revenue Agency, there can be other complications. Example, taxpayer A gifts a capital property valued at $10,000 to taxpayer B for proceeds of $1 merely to ensure that the agreement is legally binding. It is possible that this could be considered by CRA to be a gift. Okay, that's a special situation. Gift from an employer may be a taxable benefit. Yeah, I think that what people refer to as the inheritance tax is when there is a selling of the property. I think if you give your Bitcoin before dying, it's a gift. If you wait till you die, the problem is you're going to be liquidated. Now, when you're liquidated, when these vultures from the state start selling your stuff, they have a sales tax on the value of your sales. That's my understanding, personally. So if you just give Bitcoin to someone, I don't think there is a tax on the gift itself. And I don't see how the person selling it would be charged a capital gains tax because they haven't made a capital gain. They have received a gift. Barnaby Buto says, I received the cash amount corresponding to the liquidation of other assets. Yeah, so when you liquidate, it's a different thing because when you liquidate, you sell. When you sell, you make a gain. But isn't that a trick that people must be using? If you give the gift... Yeah, DK Shadow, in the US, that's not the case. In the US, the gift is taxable above $15,000. And there's a lifetime limit and whatever. Go Away says, JF, I pay my wife for sex when she's not in the mood. Does that mean she is counted as an employee of mine and my gifts to her could be taxed? Would be good to get an answer to this before Christmas. Yes, pay for sex scheme with your wife. Not only are you liable to pay taxes on this, but you will also have to pay employment insurance so that if you ever become incapable of having sex with her, you're gonna have to do like Destiny, basically find another man to have sex with her and continue to entertain her employment. That is what they call in that domain. Employment insurance. DK Shadow says, did she give you receipts? Maybe it's an it's official on the record. John Drake says, I'm going to ask my wife to get a definite answer on this. I'll have an answer for the show tomorrow. You guys are kidding. Barnabé Buto says, I'll tell you what, you can plan your death before you pass, and you really should do it. My mother paid 50% of her life's hard work in taxes because she didn't plan. You can plan your death before you pass, and you really should do it. My mother paid 50% of her life's hard work in taxes because she didn't plan. Oh, yeah, I agree. I totally agree. That is correct. Black Tie says, Jeff, you skipped my super chat. Oh, sorry. Black Tie has sent a super chat. He says, Jeff, what would you do if you became a 100 millionaire or billionaire? Will you be spending any of your money on the white nationalist cause? The answer is no. I would be spending my money on almost nothing. If I was to have $100 million, my life would go on pretty much as it is. I don't think that pouring money down causes is a good thing. I don't believe in this. I believe that any sort of money being thrown out there will be parasitized by forces that are beyond you. There is no such thing as good charity. It's all parasitism. And in fact, I don't believe in employment. I think even employment is parasitism to a certain extent. So no, I don't think I would see myself with $100 million wanting to change the world or build things. To the contrary, I would store that money in something that I feel will keep long-term value and appreciate with time. I wouldn't be on the trading of it like crazy. Like, I wouldn't be like these venture capitalists trying to foment these little birthing projects, nor would I be in the stock market very much. I would probably buy something like a mix of Bitcoin, ETH, gold, and I would probably move them when Bitcoin becomes like untrustable, maybe because it's been taken over by the normies and the governments. But I would then move it into some other cryptocurrency or some other form that I think can sustain the test of time. The thing is, I love innovation, but I don't think there is real path to efficient innovation in this sick world. There's just too much parasitism. There's no way you can throw your money and make something grow. I think that almost all of the companies that become these multi-billion or these very, very large companies, it's all deception to a certain extent. It's stocks, it's paper value. The value of Walmart. It's okay, they are churning out sales, and a lot of these companies are like neutral, cash neutral, or they bring in a little bit of cash and it allows them to pay some dividends maybe, but it's all very small. I don't think there is much ways to build productively in this world simply because I don't think there's enough talent. And I think most of what we see in the growth of the economy is artificial zombie economy style of inflationary parasitism. So I hope I'm not disappointing you, Black Tie, but I'm not launching a white nationalist revolution with $100 million. Now, if I had that much money, perhaps I would look at $1 million and say, okay, that is so small to me. Let me throw it away to these parasites. But that's how I would experience the signing of the check. I wouldn't experience it as, oh, I'm doing something great here. No, it's like, here's money, fight for it. John Drake says, I'm actually going to buy my first meme coin for fun. Which one should I get? I mean, meme coins. Doge will always be a solid value. We may have a flippening of the meme this bull run at some point, and Pepe might start doing good. I don't know. I kept my Pepe. We're going to see. Where is Pepe at? Pepe token value. Live price. Okay, Pepe is at 12.8. I got it at something like 14. So Pepe is one of my investments that has that has reduced in value. I've made enormous amounts of money on basically everything else, but my little investment on Pepe didn't pay off. I'm in the red. I lost about 5% of the value. I think Pepe might reemerge at some point. I don't know. Doge is always a stable meme coin. Well, there will be mimetic moments for Doge. Personally, what I went in with, and I'm very satisfied with this decision, I went into Vulcan Forge Peer Token because I saw some irregular activity. There was high purchasing of that token. I bought the Peer Token here at $4. Now, that's not a meme token. I bought the Peer Token right here at $4 because I was starting to see the excitement. And this is a very old token. Like, it's been around. It's not going to become a meme token ever. But what I found interesting about this token is it's a token at the center of a gaming platform where these people are just playing games, and there's a whole universe of games, and there's NFTs, and you know, having these little dog courier in Dota, some people could pay hundreds of dollars for this. And the Peer Token kind of represents the success of this gaming NFT platform that I don't know anything about. But I saw here that the price was going down and was extremely exciting here. And I decided to buy here thinking that it would keep going up. And look at this. My investment has gone from $4 to $6.20. So not a 2x yet, but a decent gain of value for 2 months, for a 2 month long investment. So personally, the Peer, I think it has long-term survivability on the internet because it's around this community that's very enthusiastic and that will keep playing these games in bear and bull markets. And they've been going extremely high before. When you look at the potential, the last bull market, they went to a peak at $41. So it's like, okay, I was here at $4 and I was like, okay, there's a potential for a 10x. If we just go back to their initial excitement. And if anything, these platforms with long-term survivability, because they have a base of support, if anything, this should pop above 40 on this crypto run, because it's going to be on a secondary wave where people have grown so much Bitcoin wealth. And then there's going to be people looking out for exits out of Bitcoin, out of ETH. And it's going to pour into this kind of crap coin. So I'll be here for it. I will be there to profit from the Peer Token rise if it happens. Barnaby Buto says GameFi will be huge this cycle. Lots of normies will onboard Web3 with gaming. Yes, I'm super excited about Web3 gaming, you know, decentralized gaming. People acquiring unique items on the blockchain. But I think I haven't seen a player rise solidly in this market. So it's a market that there will be dominant players, but we still don't know who they are because it's barely initiated. This world is, has just begun, really. And what's out there, you know that there's going to be something better than it. John Drake says, bunk or too late? I've seen some spam attacks from bunk on Twitter. I can't go for this kind of token because it's, who knows, you know, it's a bunch of fucking clowns that are all pre-bought in it and that are ready to dump bunk. No, I will not personally buy bunk. You can do whatever you like, but the problem is I see one of these scam token rise every week almost on Twitter. And it does look like they're paying for the Twitter attention. So I'm not getting into these high-risk novel meme coins. I believe that there will be money to be made in the classical category of the meme coins. In case of a surprise ETF approval tomorrow and Bitcoin pumping to 100K that same day, do you have enough Bitcoin today? That is what Plan B says. Plan B is the guy I was listening to that was predicting a 100K bull run, last bull run. He was wrong about this, so he's the reason ultimately I kept my Bitcoin at 60K. But yeah, I still trust the guy. He's working mathematically and he works with assumptions. Sometimes they have to be reviewed. But I think we are definitely in front of a very exciting bull run. Righthead barred from using facial recognition tech after thousands falsely flagged as shoplifters. Bankrupt pharmacy chain Rite Aid was banned from using facial recognition software for 5 years to settle Federal Trade Commission charges that the technology falsely flagged thousands of customers as potential shoplifters, federal agency said. Rite Aid, which filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in October, deployed artificial intelligence-based facial recognition technology from 2012 to 2020, the company said Tuesday's agreement with the FTC is subject to approval by the bankruptcy court overseeing its insolvency case. Okay, no more facial recognition. To what extent was this facial recognition? How many pixels did you need of the face before the algorithm was doing a decision? Because I know a couple of parameters. I've been doing facial recognition of my own in my days. Oh my God. Yes, it's like there's all these tools that that would have been useful for society. But because they have racist implications, they were not let to be. One of these examples is IQ test at employment. IQ test at employment. It could really, like, if you were able to IQ test your future employees, you could totally outcompete all other companies. But then some judges decided, well, IQ test, because they don't test directly your ability to do that job, it's unfair discrimination. Now, the thing is, that doesn't resolve the problem, because then we find ourselves, companies will develop basically an IQ test in the employment process. That is just an indirect IQ test. They will converse with you. They will test you on various questions, and it's going to end up revealing your intelligence in any case. Other countries can use the IQ test, says DK Shadow. Okay, I didn't know about this. What countries are we talking about, for example? Ayan says the AI would flag Black, Latino, and Asian people as likely shoplifters. Asians? Is that Asians like the Europeans mean it? Like when they say Asians, it's really Indians? Trump, it's true. They're destroying the blood of our country. And he comments on Mein Kampf.
They come from Africa. They come from Asia. Of our country. They're destroying the fabric of our country. They come from Africa. They come from Asia. They come from South America, but not just South America. They're all over the world. They dump them on the border and they pour into our country, and nobody's there to check them. And the Border Patrol is incredible, by the way. They want to do it, but they're told not to do their job. It's crazy what's going on. They're ruining our country. And it's true. They're destroying the blood of our country. That's what they're doing. They're destroying our country. They don't like it when I said that. And I never read Mein Kampf. They said, oh, Hitler said that in a much different way. No, they're coming from all over the world, people all over the world. We have no idea. They could be healthy. They could be very unhealthy. They could bring in disease that's going to catch on in our country. But they do bring in crime. But they have them coming from all over the world. And they're destroying the blood of our country. They're destroying the fabric of our country.
Okay, so Trump makes the distinction that when he talks of the blood of our country, he doesn't talk of genetics and demographics. He's talking of the fabric. But the fabric, Trump, is just a fabric of genes. And, like, at this point, he's trying to get the credit for anti-immigration talk a la Mein Kampf while also disavowing Mein Kampf. It's like, no, the blood that is getting destroyed is not blood parasites being brought by Southern Americans. The blood that changes is genetics. It's the nature of people, their behavior that's encoded by the area in which they lived, which selected for certain behaviors, and we as Europeans have selected for other behaviors. And when you mix this, you have no guarantee that your behavior will survive the evolutionary race that you just caused. That is what's important. And Trump is trying to use language in line with this view, but also disavowing this view explicitly. Russia has achieved a drastic breakthrough in its standoff with the West in 2023. Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova said, I agree that Russia has demonstrated that they can go head-to-head against a country that is basically supported by infinite flows from American money. And that if America doesn't get themselves into the war, they can deploy as much as they can without getting themselves, and it won't be able to stop Russia. The fact is, Russia has been succeeding at its military objectives, at least as they were stated, which was to rescue regions of Ukraine that were subject to Ukrainian oppression. We have a follow-up in the story of Destiny and the guy who took his wife and who caused the divorce with Destiny, but because Destiny was tolerating that this guy was fucking his wife because Destiny is such a liberal and open man. The guy is bragging, and they are talking shit to each other, apparently. The guy is Mimetics. He is the guy fucking the Swedish wife of Destiny right now. He says, wait till I show him my rent for my own apartment. Tee-hee. It's funny how everyone roasts me for being gay. I don't know. When Destiny is literally the LGBTQ. He even called me the F slur. I also have a job, in fact, also 6 years engineering degree at Sweden's best engineering university. Ah, see, the first thing is you can get the Swedish wife all you want. She is a Swedish woman deep inside. she will go back to a Swedish lover at some point. There's no avoiding this. You know, be careful when you go very far in the cultural distance. It's going to show in the loyalty between you and your woman. KTH, bro, nuke me, bro. You have nothing. Bro is avoiding the elephant in the room. I don't have to cope. I'm chilling with Mel right now. So he is bragging about chilling with Destiny's wife, Cockslayer Riz. So here he's suggesting that Destiny is a cock, that he himself is a slayer of cocks, and Riz is the term given by the youth generation to this kind of being so good at speech that you can charm a woman with speech. That speech is referred to as Riz. I am rizzing you, lady. I am rising you, rizzing you. I am through my speech charming you. So he's basically saying that he has the poetry, the poetic expression allowing him to slay cuckolds, and that therefore Destiny has been slain by his Riz. Nah, don't nuke me, bro. Then I don't have to nuke you either. Ha ha ha. I paid Destiny's rent with my big boy TikTok money from my Charli D'Amelio collab. So now he's bragging that because Destiny didn't want to pay his Swedish wife's his Swedish divorcee wife apartment cost. So why does your wife has apartment cost? I don't know. I guess that in a cuckold couple, you do have to have an apartment separate for the cuckoldry to happen, you know? So Destiny didn't want to pay for these apartment fees. And this guy is bragging that he has paid for her apartment cost from his TikTok money. It's like this girl is going to rotate through TikTok and Twitch stars forever. It's like, I can't wait for this guy to be in the same situation. You know how much I'm an old man of the internet? I'm going to be here in 10 years, and this guy will have rotated to some other career, and this girl will have rotated to some other guy. I can't wait for that moment. It's going to be so awesome. But yeah... When she does this pattern of going for a Twitch star, then rotating to a TikTok star, you know that it's a cycle. You know that it's going to happen again and again. Okay, Destiny old head Twitch money. No, wait. Okay, so he's saying that Destiny is kind of a boomer of the streaming world. Destiny is a boomer of the streaming world because he only has Twitch money. That's why he can't afford to pay Mel's apartment. Time is money, chat, and I am spending time with Mel. Bro is DMing his therapist as we speak. I have literal recording of Destiny saying he hopes I off myself. Yeah, but why cancel me for Rizicide? Okay, so that's a new concept for me, Rizicide. So when you reach a certain degree of poetry in charming the female with your voice and your words, you are committing a Rizicide. You are abolishing the genes of destiny. You are abolishing the efficiency of the sperm of destiny inside Mel. And you are replacing it with your riz, with your speech. You are replacing it with your own sperm. You are therefore committing a rizicide. Wow, I had never been exposed to the clash of ideas between riz and genes and riz and genocide. Let me... and the guy is called Mimetics. So that was actually my wonder here. A rizicide, is it a mimetic genocide? I'm very interested in these questions here. Is a regicide a form of mimetic genocide? That is the question I'm asking. And if Destiny is willing to invite me on his Twitch stream, I'm willing to put a temporary suspension to my policy of never engaging with Destiny. I will engage with Destiny on this one question if he invites me on his Twitch stream. Is the regicide that he's been the victim of a mimetic genocide? As the meme of Destiny died inside the head of Mel. The proof was Steven's ADHD manic episode in the night. So he's talking about the kind of depressive performance of Destiny on that night on Discord. Okay, guys, I'm bored. I'm going to sleep. All right. Very interesting what's happening in the cuckold world. there was this post. People are saying that this must not have been written by a woman. People are accusing this of having been secretly written by a male. I don't know. It certainly shows a lot of insight for a text written by a woman. So I don't know. You guys vote on the chat. I will read the text. I regret not making my marriage work, and now my ex-husband is happily remarried. When I was in my early 30s, I divorced my husband. We didn't have any major issues. Our relationship was just challenged after having kids. I was a stay-at-home mother, and I expected him to do more of the housework and childcare when he worked full-time. He did help me when I asked, but I started to ask more of him, and I burnt him out. I used to have him wrapped around my finger, and I used that as an advantage to get what I want. He eventually got tired of it. I started threatening to divorce him, and he said he knew the baby was just stressing us out, and he would like to make it work. But when I was 30, I thought I was a great catch because I'm still very beautiful for my age. And I lost my mom, bud, so I thought I could do better than him, so I left him. I got our house in the divorce, and we shared joint custody of our son. Fast forward now, I'm 41 and still single, and my ex-husband is 41 and got remarried to a 31-year-old woman who is incredibly beautiful. They had their daughter 3 years ago. He bought a new house. My son loves going to his dad's to spend time with his other family, and I'm not gonna lie, it makes me jealous. She has it all. She took my husband, she took my kid, she took my life that was once all mine, and all I have is the house we created our family in, and now I live in an empty house. I'm 41, I gained 20 pounds. I've got wrinkles, and I'm alone and miserable. I've had short-term relationships after the divorce, but they never worked out. Men just don't want an old woman like me with a child, and I've noticed that men with kids just have a better time dating with kids than we do, and I hate it. It could be an imaginary. We've often had posts that come on the internet, and it's like, maybe it's from a 4chan guy who's just mocking the situation. But I don't know. And it's very rare that a woman will come to be so honest about her errors. Honestly, I've never seen that. Like, if that is a real woman typing these words, she may be the most insightful and self-conscious woman I've ever seen. Typically, what I see is old women like this will totally invent a parallel narrative in which somehow this wasn't an error, and they're gonna find a way to keep face. This woman doesn't seem to want to keep face, but it's a Reddit post. It's posted anonymously, so perhaps a woman in her honest moment sounds like this. Personally, I've posted it on my Twitter and I've commented, "You get what you fucking deserve," because I think it might have been written by an honest woman. And I don't think it's necessarily a false narrative written by a jealous male or someone wanting to, someone imagining the life of his ex. I think the aspects of jealousy of the new partner, that is very much woman-like. You know, women think in terms of, oh yeah, there she is, happy. That's a problem. Tillman says, Jeff, AI with the right prompts. AI could generate this. I mean, eventually AI will be good at inventing narratives of that kind, but that doesn't look AI prepared. because the AI doesn't make that kind of syntactic error. Listen to this part. The baby was just stressing us out and he will like to make it work. That is a very human mistake. He would like to make it work. AI can reproduce coarse language and maybe even errors if you prompt them. But AI will not come up with this particular error that is totally tied to the pronunciation of will and would and the confusion of certain humans in when they write and when they don't review their text. And it's gone. The Ukraine war is gone from the minds and gone from the public space. And the Washington Post has even removed the war in Ukraine section. War in Ukraine isn't that big of a thing anymore. I mean, it's been so flat, the Ukraine war, for so many months now. Last time there was some excitement around there was a town and they were like, yeah, this is the counteroffensive of Ukraine. They're going to push back. And it didn't happen. Never happened. The last person who seemed like he genuinely believed that Ukraine could win in front of me was Richard Spencer. Richard Spencer was telling me, yeah, JF, you know, there's a counteroffensive starting. Haven't you heard of it? It's like, not only have I heard of it, I've seen it for the bullshit propaganda narrative that it is already. I'm not excited at the counteroffensive. Ramaswamy threatens to boycott Colorado primary, saying that if they remove Trump from the ballot, he's not going to present himself for the primary there. I think it's great, yes, to show principles, but I do hope that the U.S. Supreme Court won't let this happen, because we're talking about the right of the people to vote for the candidate they want. Oh yeah, Tommy Robinson, this guy has violence problems. I will be taking this as the last news item for tonight. Tommy Robinson is always an escalating violence situation. And he always tries to frame himself as the victim, but he always puts himself in situations where he has to yell like a dog at policemen, at people. And he always looks angry, extremely angry, like one of these normies, buff guys, like, you know, these gym bros that are always like, hey, what's your problem, bro? You got a problem? And here he goes again. Now, this podcast host had a terrible idea. He organized a confrontation between this footballer. I don't know. There's a footballer who started insulting Tommy Robinson on the internet. I don't know if it's in relation to Tommy's pro-Israel position. Maybe this footballer is pro-Palestine. I don't even know this guy. Derek Diablo. Or maybe it's because this footballer hates Tommy Robinson because he's a racist. Is that what it is? Anyways, for whatever reason, there was an internet beef between the two, and this genius podcast host has the idea of putting them in the same room.
They invite you? No, you twat. Nobody doesn't want you around, no lads. You're not welcome with any firm, bro. You're not even welcome with Migs, champ. I'm more welcome than you.
You'll turn the camera off. Come on, that's our thing. Come on, now. Let's grow up now, right? Let's stop
grow up.
Shopping.
That's the main thrust to me.
Yeah, listen.
What's the main thrust? You don't know what you're fucking talking about. You're not even from here, you fucking little mug. You're a fucking little mug.
Right.
That's what you are. Now you're fucking. You called me out in a fucking fight, didn't you?
Yeah.
So why are you sitting in front of me, fucking doing
the
something?
The zone,
bit?
But what do you want to do?
Do a fucking little trick. What are you gonna fucking
okay,
get the fuck off me? Get the fuck off me. What are you gonna do? Hey, what are you gonna fucking do?
No.
What are you gonna fucking do, you little
get
fucking
him back.
Mug? What are you gonna fucking do?
Get him back. 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 You.
What is the constructive idea here? What were we expecting? Tommy Robinson is always in this mood of, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What? And of course, now this other guy was equally in that mood, apparently.
No. Yeah, he attacked.
You stupid little fucking dick.
Get him out, bro. Get him out. Man, you're not letting me go. Let me get up. Let me get up. Let me get up. What is this?
Carlo Maxworth says the footballer is a mentally challenged American obsessed with British football hooligan culture. Well, who knew that the lowest of society weren't even here in North America? It is happening out there on an island close to Europe.